What do you get when you take one tired homeschool mom and one sorta sick teen daughter and put them in a room together in front of a microphone? You get today's slightly off the rails, but still totally awesome homeschool conversations episode. My 16-year-old daughter Emma reprises her role today as guest co-host as we kick off season 8 of the podcast. She has actually come on for one of these episodes each season since season 5, so if you liked today's episode, be sure to scroll back in your podcast feed and catch up on all that awesomeness. Now, if you're new around here, I assure you the regular tone of the podcast is a bit more polished, but today you get the raw, unedited, slightly kooky version of the Sloan family. So consider yourself forewarned. I mean, some people actually say these Q&A episodes are some of their favorites, but I do just like to make sure people prepare themselves for the giggles. Make sure you're subscribed to Homeschool Conversations with Humility and Doxology so you don't miss a single episode this season. You can expect an encouraging interview every other week with a few bonus episodes sprinkled throughout. In fact, our very first bonus episode comes Monday, and it's going to be one all of the Anne of Green Gables fans especially won't want to miss. Welcome to Homeschool Conversations with Humility and Doxology, a series of interviews with real-life homeschool moms, dads, and other educators on all sorts of topics that affect our lives as homeschool parents. I'm Amy Sloan, a second-generation homeschool mom of 5, and I am so delighted that you are here. Here on Homeschool Conversations, we'll discuss educational philosophy, family life, and more. Come chat with us. Free books multiple ages can enjoy? Yes, please. With the free sample from podcast sponsor Sunlight, you'll experience what it's really like to use Sunlight curriculum, the books, the schedule, and the notes. And did I mention it's free? Choose between Heartwood Hotel by Callie George or A Single Shard by Linda Sue Park. And Sunlight will send you a book and schedule. You'll get to experience the joy of reading a book with your children and forming lifelong memories. Forget rote learning. You and your children will love learning history through living stories. Few things prompt conversations like great books and shared memories. Discuss big ideas and eternal realities with multiple ages at the same time with Sunlight. Take the free Sunlight invitation to see if it's right for your homeschool family. Click the link in the show notes or head to sunlight.com/free and get your free book and schedule. That's sunlight.com/free. Take two. Welcome to the Homeschool Conversations with Humility and Doxology podcast. I'm Amy, and today is a special listener Q&A episode to kick off season 8, and I'm here with my daughter, Emma.
Hi,
Emma.
Hello.
Emma, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am Emma. I like doing basically everything.
Yeah, Emma is a multi-passionate person.
You know, my hobby is collecting hobbies. So, you know.
It doesn't help keep the bedroom clean, but it makes you have a very interesting life.
I feel like cleaning is for other people, you know? Anyway, we're here to ask you questions.
Yes.
Turn the tables.
Oh, you guys, I will just let you behind the mic right now. If you hear a sniff or a cough, I apologize, but this is just where we are right now, and if we put it off any longer, this episode was not going to come out in time.
Yes.
So we are just doing it. It has been an interesting end of the summer for our family. We've had some sickness and some other issues, but we are persevering. We are getting ready to kick off our, 13th, 14th school year, homeschool year, and this has become a favorite thing for listeners. It's a favorite thing for me. I love hanging out with Emma.
I love hanging out with you.
Yeah.
This is great.
She makes me laugh. We typically have a lot of giggles in our Q&A episodes. But we're going to give just a little update on the family and what's going on here in the Sloan house when I'm not recording regular interviews. And Emma, do you need a tissue? And then we are going to get to the questions that you guys have sent in via DM and email. Thank you guys so much for sending in those questions. You can send me questions anytime you want, but it is really fun when I have questions for these Q&A episodes, because a lot of times other people have your same question.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess we should first – well, actually, probably first. If this is your very first episode
– Hi.
Hi. Welcome. We are so glad you're here. I promise, normally, they're very professional.
They're so serious.
They're like, very serious.
Yeah.
It's serious-minded. Great. But the Q&A episodes are kind of where we
– Let loose.
We let loose. Yes, we do. There is an outline, but there is no script.
You know
– We'll see what happens.
We quote the listeners. The rest is just, you know.
Yeah, we actually already had to start over one time. But we're going to try to make it through the rest
for
of
for you, new listener. We're going to make it serious. Probably not.
Don't try. Don't promise things that you're not going to do. Okay, so quick family recap for the Sloan family. My oldest son, Joshua, graduated last spring. Congratulations to him.
Yay.
And to me. He is going to be attending a local university, living at home to save money, and I am so proud of him. It'll be exciting to see all that he does in the next few years as he continues to grow into manhood. Emma, I'll let you update on your own life.
Oh my goodness. I got my license. That was a big deal. Very excited.
I'm so excited.
Can already drive places. It's so great. I've been co-hosting the podcast, Kids Chalk Church History, which you should totally check out. We interview lots of very fabulous, smart people about church history and learn lots of things. And it's so great, having a lot of fun with that. I've been doing dual enrollment at local community college, getting new classes this upcoming semester. It's going to be great. Lots of all sorts of hobbies, reading lots of books. I became a plant person. She has
plants everywhere in her
room. I have plants everywhere and I love them so much. They're just the most adorable thing.
Is there anything in particular you're looking forward to about 11th grade?
Well, I'll be doing a lot more dual enrollment classes, which I'm very excited about. I have, some really exciting things with that. Have some lots of really interesting classes, so I'm very excited. So
yeah, and I'm really excited that you have your license and can take some of that taxi driving off of
yes me. Driving, it's great.
So my next daughter Sophia is rising 8th grade. She is still doing point and ballet, volunteering with her dance program
studio.
Yes, dance studio, thank you. She works once a week as a mother's helper locally, which helps her save money for said point dues. Anyone who has children in dance knows that those are not cheap, so Sophia helps pay for those. So Grace is rising 6th grader. She has just joined, actually, the Kids Talk Church History team with her big sister Emma, which is fun.
So fun.
And she just started her own podcast. Emma, did you know about this?
I did, but it's really cool.
So, like, forever ago, Grace was like, Mom, I have the best name for a podcast. She said, I want to have a podcast about poetry and call it Peter Piper Picked a Pack of Pickled Poems. And I was like, that's a great idea. And then I never got around to actually helping her get it started. But
now.
Now it is launched in the world. Her podcast cover art is way cuter than mine. And the episodes are just delightful. So if you have children, even actually children who maybe aren't sure about poetry, check out the Pickled Poems podcast. It's really fun. So far, indeed, she's had a lot of silly poems. And so going into 6th grade, it's kind of a big year, a jump academically.
Transition.
It's a transition year, yeah. And then I guess I only have one kid still in elementary school.
Oh my goodness.
I know. What happened? I got old.
You're not old, Mom.
I'm young at heart.
You are still in your prime of life.
Prime of life. Okay. Anyway, Isaac, our littlest guy, is going into 3rd grade. He's gradually become more comfortable with reading. Those of you who have followed us for a while know that he's had some struggles there, but has worked really hard and diligently. Because if you have a child who is a more reluctant reader or struggles with that, that can end up impacting other subjects. So mm-hmm. I know this year I'm still going to be a lot more hands-on with him than maybe I've been in 3rd grade with other kids, just because that will help him be able to disassociate reading being hard from the other subjects that are not so hard for him. And he's especially, I think, looking forward to a new year of math with confidence,
We love that math program from Kate Snow. And then he's constantly building and designing and creating things. He did an incredible Minas Tirith, like, replica out of Legos. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah. His creativity.
Yeah.
It is very messy.
It takes up a lot of space.
It takes up a lot of space. Again.
It's just too big to fit in his mind.
But it's pretty fun.
It has to explode for the whole living room.
Yes. Oh, dear. So then for my own life, I'm going to be turning 39.
Yay!
I know. At the end of this month. And that means that I'll be turning 40 next year. I don't know if you knew that.
That's how math works.
That's how math works. But a previous podcast guest, Elsie Uticello, I'll put that link in the show notes. She talked about how she used that year before she turned 40 to reread some of her favorite books. And I just was completely inspired. So I have my 40 before 40 list that are just favorite books I'm going to be rereading. And I shared that complete list over on Instagram. And then Emma was like, hey, Mom, you want to read all of Shakespeare this year?
Yeah.
And I was like, sure. Yeah. So you want to tell us, like, what you did?
So there's a spreadsheet, guys, of course. But basically, I realized that, like, the school year, you know, August to I think it's, like, May, if you read one play a week, taking 2 weeks of break for Christmas, that's all of the Shakespeare plays. And then if you want, you could fill up those 2 weeks with reading all of the sonnets just for funsies. But, yeah, so it's – at first, you're like, reading all of Shakespeare, that sounds like a lot. But then when you actually break it down, it's not that many. So we're just reading one play a week.
And really,
chronological-ish order of how he wrote it.
Yes. So publication-ish order.
Yeah.
And since most of the plays are five acts long, maybe all of them.
Yeah.
I think.
That's an act a day.
That's an act a day, which is totally doable.
That's totally doable.
And I'm actually listening with an audiobook. I have all of Shakespeare's plays in one with one Audible credit, which felt like the best bang for my buck ever.
Yeah.
And we are a few plays in, and it's been really fun so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's sort of our life. Other than these lovely listener Q&A episodes, the best way to keep up with daily life is actually going to be following Humility and Doxology on Instagram and getting on my email list. So if you want a list of some of my personal favorite curriculum from 13 plus years of homeschooling, I actually did put that PDF together this summer and have it exclusively available for my email subscribers. So you can send me an email, amy@humilityanddoxology.com, if you want me to hook you up with that or with the Shakespeare in a Year spreadsheet. Yeah. So we're going to move on to the question.
Okay. So now that we're moving on to questions, I noticed that these next two questions were both read aloud related. So I thought I would ask them together. So Lauren asked, when and how do you fit in read aloud time during school? As our children are getting older, but we still have youngsters, I want to spend time reading picture books and novels while also fitting in other school things. How do you do it in your home? I miss the days when we would just spend long stretches cuddled on the couch reading together. And then Joyce asks, what are some of your favorite read-alouds? We have morning time only 3 days a week, and it took months to get through Wind in the Willows last year, looking for shorter books and ages 9, 11, and 13. Thoughts?
Oh, so many thoughts. No, these are such great questions. And I think a lot of times people have this idea that other families are somehow fitting in like 6 hours of read aloud a day. And they're just, you know, the piles of read alouds are just, you know, they're just accomplishing so much. And maybe there are some families that spend 6 hours reading a day. We have never done that.
No.
Never.
If that's you, good for you. I feel like that's a lot.
That would be a lot. So I guess all that to say, it can be easy to feel like we need these huge chunks of time for read alouds to count with our family. But even just one chapter a day or 15 minutes a day really does add up. So I checked. I was like, how long is the audiobook for Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? And it's just a little over 4 hours long. The audiobook version. So if you think about it, if you spend just 20 minutes a day reading, you could easily finish that entire book in about 3 weeks. And suddenly, Reading aloud doesn't feel quite so overwhelming. Now, you may not read 16 books in 3 weeks, but you're going to have accomplished that goal. And you know, then you move on to the next book. To Lauren's question, I found that when I had littles, it almost always worked better when I would start the day by sitting and reading picture books aloud to them first. So I would set up the school rhythm so the older kids could start the day with their independent work, and I could really focus on that special cuddle time, reading time with the littles. And I just think prioritizing it, just like with morning time in general, the things we really want to do, doing them first helps make the rest of the day feel like, well, at least I got to that, you know? Yeah. Like, it feels like I did the most important thing. And then if you run out of time for something else later in the day, at least you know you did that most important thing. And another thing I would just say is to not be afraid to keep picture books in the rotation for your family time and your morning time, your history read aloud time, whenever you're reading any other subjects with your kids, because you're never too old for picture books, right?
Never. Picture books are great.
Picture books are great. See, even Emma, who's 16, loves picture books. I actually am still making a point to have one special chapter book, actually, that I'm only reading to Isaac, my youngest, just to make sure that we have that time together, because, you know, the more children you have, the more they're older and their schedules get busier, that younger part of the family can kind of like somehow not get as much read aloud time as the older siblings did. So we don't get to that every single day, but even once or twice a week really does add up. And he looks forward to that special time with me. We've gotten to have some really special read aloud time together. And I don't freak out about it not being every day or not being some huge chunk of time. I'm just thankful for prioritizing it and having that just little bit, the little moments adding up.
And that was not something that you just did with Isaac. I know. I remember specifically, like, we've read lots of books. I think that was the first time I read Little Women. We read it aloud together. And, yeah, it wasn't just with Isaac. It was with all of us through various points of just having that one special book. That was our book. And that was – it was very nice because it was like, man, this is our book and not their book.
Yes. So if you have several children – just like Emma was saying, like having something that can be special one-on-one with any child, really at any age or stage, can be a really special way to have that relationship and that reading time across, you know, multiple children. Let's see. What else did I want to say? Oh, so I like to keep one read aloud actually officially in our morning basket or our morning time routine, just to make sure I at least get that one little bit in a day. Generally, we read about one short chapter a day. So I haven't actually timed it, but that's not really that much time. Right now, we're rereading Charlotte's Web. Mm-hmm. And I picked that one because it's one we all love. And Emma is not going to be there about half of the time for morning time this year. And I wanted something where if she popped in and out and was there for one day and not another, she would
– I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, she would still be able to appreciate it. That was kind of an important thing for my mama heart as we started the school year. I'm going to miss you. And then a few times a week, I try to read something aloud that's related to like our history or science. So finding things that coordinate with your other subjects, of course, can be really helpful. When it comes to family read aloud time, like with everyone, including dad, that is just really hard to do. It is really hard, especially.
And it's gotten even harder.
It has gotten harder every year. So I would say maybe like once, maybe twice a month, we read
maybe
a book
twice
aloud.
If we're doing real good.
But once a month.
Once a month.
We read aloud a book.
No. All together.
I mean, now we prioritize our family devotion. So we're reading the Bible together every
That's
day.
A family read aloud.
That's a family read aloud. We read the Bible. But as far as like a story, it's generally once or twice a month.
Yeah.
And it can feel like you're like, well, but we're not reading that much. But remember, read aloud time isn't about volume. It's about consistency, prioritization, and just enjoying those moments you have together. But I did want to bring this up too, especially because Joyce was talking about the limited time and how long it took them to get through that one book. So when you have limited time, it really helps to pick shorter books. So you feel like you get that easy win. Especially the less time you have to read out loud, the shorter the book that you should pick, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Because it does feel like, oh, look, we just checked off another book and we can read another one.
Yeah.
And it really helps with the motivation. So if you don't have very much time, don't pick, you know, Swiss Family Robinson or something that's like a million pages right. long. Yeah. And then you can also think about other windows of time to fit in read aloud. So not just morning time. If you have something you're already doing together, try linking the read aloud to what you're already doing. So maybe you already all eat breakfast together. 10 minutes a day, again, adds up. Or a snack time or lunch. And don't forget the audiobooks count. Mm-hmm. Audiobooks are great.
Audiobooks are awesome.
Back when we used to all drive places together, before I had teens with driver's licenses, we would often have an audiobook that we would just save to listen to in the car together. So I was just trying to think of some I remembered off the top of my head. Across Five Aprils, Escape from Mr. Limoncello's Library, Echo, Mist Mantle Chronicles.
Johnny Tremaine.
Lots of books. I mean, Swiss Family Robinson. That's one that we did listen to. Actually, we did listen to that one as an audiobook like a long time ago.
Yeah. There were so many. Just there was pretty much always an audiobook going.
Yeah. And so there are so many memories that you can form together with an audiobook and you're still sharing the story. It still counts as reading together, read aloud time, even if mom is not the one physically doing the reading. Now, along with picking short books, I would say even more valuable for a successful read aloud time is picking a book with short chapters.
Yes.
It just feels, the momentum feels like it keeps you going, and you have more natural stopping places mm-hmm. if you have a short time to read. You can read aloud a book with long chapters and, you know, break them up manually, but it's just harder, and it's harder to keep that momentum going. So I was going to share a few of my favorite read alouds over the year, and then Emma, you can let me know if I left anything off. The Chronicles of Narnia.
Of course.
I mean, the whole series.
Obviously.
If you haven't read that, actually, just stop everything. Don't listen to anything else on this list.
Finish the podcast first.
Well, yes. Finish the podcast first. But don't read any of these other books until you've read The Chronicles of Narnia aloud as a family. Love that. And it meets all those things. Short chapters, short books, beautiful, appeals to every age.
Yeah.
It's the perfect
win,
series.
Win. Uh-huh. For all.
Carry On, Mr. Bowditch. I think I've read that one aloud like,
that one's so good. Like four or five times? Maybe. I don't know. We just keep reading it.
Every time we hit American history, I'm like, guess what? We get to read. Same with Across Five Aprils. Mm-hmm. We've read that one aloud a lot too. 21 Balloons. That's a really fun one. McBroom's Wonderful One Acre Farm. Both of those are very funny. That would be great for a mixture of ages, but especially late elementary, early middle school. The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane.
That one's if you're going to cry. If you want to cry, that's the one that you read.
You'll cry, but in a good way.
In a good way, but still you'll be emotionally torn apart.
You will.
And then put back together again.
And then put back together. Animal Farm, Mr. Popper's Penguins, Half Magic is a recent family read aloud that we adored. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. A Christmas Carol, Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim, Frindle, Stories from the Fairy Queen by Mary MacLeod, and then The Book of Dragons by E. Nesbitt. Emma, I know I've just, like, talked a lot. Do you have any other experiences with read aloud or books I left off?
I think with the books, like, that was pretty comprehensive. Like, those have been the highlights of our read aloud experience. I mean, we've read a lot, but those are the ones that, like, really stick out. It's like, those are the books. I will say, with, like, reading in the car, like, for reading as, like, a whole family, road trips, they rock because you can actually finish a book because you're in the car for so long. So you just, like, play the book, and then you get there, and you're like, man, we just read a whole book. The only time, really, when you have, like, 3, 5, 10 hours just sitting there, that's the perfect time reading aloud, except with an audiobook, so then your voice doesn't die.
And you know what? That's actually a really good point Emma's making, too. Okay, so you're 16. I assume you don't remember, like, books we read the first few years of your life.
Yeah.
But when you look back, it feels like, wow, we've read so many books mm-hmm. when we look at that big picture. Right. But if somebody asked me at the end of a week, did you read aloud with your children a lot this week? I would tend to say, right. No, I didn't read aloud. I should have read aloud more. But when we look over
it
that.
It piles up.
It piles up. I just hope this is encouraging, you guys. Like, thinking big picture, long term, those little moments, mm-hmm. the tiny bit that you're doing, it adds up.
And I'm sure even the kids feel like it's more books than it actually was, because it's like, I don't remember what happened, but there were books, and I it feels like a lot of them. So I don't know how many a lot is to a 5-year-old, but it feels like a lot to me now.
Yes. And we have a book-rich home. That's a good thing. So I guess, yeah, my biggest tip would just not let the ideal, perfect read-aloud time you imagine in your mind take away from the really beautiful, simple read-aloud time that can actually happen in the middle of your messy living room. And just remember that the little things count. The success of our family reading memories isn't based on having to read more books than anyone else or reading only the best books on some, like, ultimate best books list of all time. It's just those moments together, the family memories, and the shared family culture.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the homeschooling journey, wondering if you're doing enough to support your children's education and spiritual growth? You are not alone. A lot of Christian homeschool parents face the same challenges and long for a supportive community to help them navigate this important responsibility. And that's why you're going to love Made to Homeschool. This unique community is designed to support homeschoolers at all stages, offering camaraderie, encouragement, and inspiration. At Made to Homeschool, we believe that you were called to this journey for a reason. You were made for this. Join us today, and together we'll build a strong network of families dedicated to nurturing the next generation of godly leaders. Find out all the details and join us inside at humilityanddoxology.com/m2h, or you can click the link in the show notes. That's humilityanddoxology.com/m2h. humilityanddoxology.com/m2h.
Okay, are you ready for our next question?
I'm so ready.
So ready. Okay, so Lindsay asks, how did you do school with your older kids while your youngest was still waking you up at night?
Yikes. Yeah, this is a hard one. Just sending hugs and high fives to all the exhausted moms listening right now who have babies and toddlers and little ones waking you up at night. And really, it's not even just moms with babies, right? Because you might have sick kids or kids who regress in their sleep habits. Like, I remember my youngest son, we transitioned him to a big boy bed in God's providence the same night as this huge thunderstorm. And he had been such a good sleeper, and it just ruined everything. It was like 2 years or maybe more before he ever slept through the night again.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Yeah.
It was pretty intense.
So I know it's easy for me to say. It's easy to sort of give the, like, canned answer, like, oh, be kind to yourself, like, be patient. But, you know, you're exhausted and you're dragging and you have these things that are important and you want to do them. I mean, educating your children matters. You can't just be like, oh, mom's tired for the 10 years I'm having babies and toddlers. I guess we're not going to do school. Like, you still have to do the work, right? Mm-hmm. Do the hard thing. And that's really hard. But it is, you know, if you're not just feeling full of zest today and feeling like just full of vim and vigor and this inspired homeschool mom, that is okay. You're not alone. And just because it's hard doesn't mean you're necessarily doing anything wrong. And again, I know it's easy for me in this season with older kids to say, but the season really does pass. One day your children will be buckling themselves in their car seats. You'll be able to leave them at home and go to the grocery store.
Go to the bathroom by themselves.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
It's very exciting. I do have a couple specific blog posts and podcast episodes that speak to that specific season of homeschooling and motherhood with babies and toddlers. And so I'm going to put those links in the show notes for this episode over at humilityanddoxology.com. But so I was thinking about this question today. I just sort of started like a random stream of consciousness list of ideas and practical tips. So these are in no logical order. These are in no like order of priority. These are just as they came to my mind, I bullet pointed them.
Yeah.
And now I will share them with you.
There you go.
So the first is, whenever possible, go to bed early. And this was really hard for me sometimes because I would have been up all night, up early with the kids, you know, just on all day with the children. And so a lot of times when they would go to sleep, it felt like the first time I had to myself, you know. The house was finally quiet. No one needed anything. I could finally, like, read my book or watch my show or just, like, stare at the wall. And sometimes that's the right thing to do, is to stay up, have that time to yourself, and just know you're sacrificing sleep. But normally it's better to just go to bed early. And I have learned that the hard way. So when it's possible, and I know it's not always possible, but go to bed early. Sunday naps are your friend. There were several years in a row where basically I took a nap every Sunday afternoon that we didn't have guests over. And I would ask John for help. So ask your spouse for help. You know, that can be sort of your Lord's Day, day of rest thing. You're still having to mom sleep on Sundays, but just even a short nap can really be a blessing. And it was something to look forward to on Sundays that often felt like the hardest day instead of the day of rest. But at least I got that nap in. Also, kind of another random practical thing, stay hydrated, and not just hydrated on coffee. Make sure you're drinking enough water. That can really make a huge difference just with brain function and staying fresh through the day. And even a short walk can help, which is often better than coffee or a nap. So obviously, if you have little kids, you're not going to be able to leave them home alone, but you can take the kids with you, put the baby in a front pack. I actually remember – you may not remember this, Emma, because this was at our other house when you were tiny. But I couldn't go anywhere, and you guys would be napping or, like, doing whatever. And I would just go and walk around the house, like, in a yard. Like, I would just rock circles around the house. Like, I didn't have a whole lot of time, but I just needed 10 minutes to go walk around the house. Yeah. Fresh air, some endorphins.
Yeah. We also used to go on lots of walks at our old house. Our old neighborhood had lots of good, like, walks. They weren't just, like, on the sidewalk, but they had these
people in the stroller.
Nice loops.
So even just a short walk can be helpful. And then this is going to be really personal and different for each person, but to really think about your own energy flow. Like, when is your energy best? Is it first thing in the morning? That's typically when I have the most energy. But maybe it's mid-morning or after lunch or later in the day. You know your own personal ebbs and flows best. So if you can work with those energy cycles and try to plan the work that you do with your older kids in those times, that can be really helpful. You know, it's not really helpful necessarily to be like, do your work in the afternoon while the baby naps, or do your work first thing in the morning while you're fresh, because it's going to be different for every person and every family. But try to work with your energy flows. Find things you can teach family style. Look for ways to outsource. That may be a literal outsourced class, or it may just be having that audiobook. Again, going back to the audiobooks, using an audiobook to read aloud to the kids while you're nursing and resting your eyes in the living room and the other kids are listening or playing quietly. And there may be some really good things that you need to say not right now to. So to take the time, discuss with your spouse, what are your essential must-dos? My friend Pam Barnhill talks about the minimum viable homeschool, to really think about what are the things that you feel like you need to do to consider it a successful homeschool day. And it may mean you're having to leave off some good things, but if you can at least prioritize those elements of your minimum viable homeschool every day, it's going to feel a lot more successful on a regular basis. Okay, am I going? I feel like I'm like just fire hydranting.
This is great. Keep going. Okay. I believe in you. Okay. Let's go.
Eliminate as much decision fatigue as you can. So when we're tired, the thought of having to decide what to do next is just too much. Honestly, it's too much for me now, and I don't even have a baby anymore. But yeah, so, you know, with this, you can think about, like, the big picture planning, getting into a rhythm and a flow where it just is like a repeatable process. You don't have to think about what comes next. Your kids aren't like, what do I do next? Everyone just knows the flow. They know the system. It's easy to replicate the homeschool day over and over again.
I would also recommend writing down the system for when you're so tired that you can't remember the routine that's embedded in you. Then you can be like, wait, I know what I'm doing, but I don't actually remember it. And then you can look at your piece of paper and be like, oh yeah, I decided back
you know, 3 weeks ago what I'm doing today. That's great. Good for me.
Yes. And if you are, if you're really like just in the survival mode, maybe you're like, I can't do a pretty planner and I don't have fantastic, you know, homeschool planning sheets. You don't need them. You do not. Get a post-it note and a pencil. And actually, when you're, you know, have little ones, a lot of times your schedule and routine is changing so frequently. You may not want to, like, what if you planned the whole school year in a pretty planner and then the sleep and the nap schedule all changed, it threw the whole thing off? Well, if you had just written down a flow on a post-it note, just, I mean,
there are lots of post-it notes. You can just get a new one.
And they even come in pretty colors.
They do. And you can get ones with lines and dots. I love post-it notes. They're like, they're awesome.
I think one time we gave you like a whole bag of post-it notes for Christmas.
Yeah, it was. There were a lot of post-it notes. It was great.
So there you go. Write down your flow, but don't try to make it too fancy. Just do it where it's simple. Keep it simple. And then finally, ask for help. Ask your spouse, your kids, your friends. Trying to be superwoman is not going to help anyone. That is not what God calls you to do. Being humble enough to say, I can't do this on my own or I can't do this right now is sometimes really hard. But more often than not, people are willing to pitch in and help. And actually, can I say one more thing?
You can say one more thing.
Okay.
This is your podcast. You can do whatever you want.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, so find something that sparks you and like gives you joy and delight. So it's okay to prioritize taking time to listen to your own music or read your own book or play an instrument or see a friend, even when it feels like you're already not doing enough. Leave the dirty dishes and read a book. Feeding our own minds and hearts as moms really does make us better homeschool moms.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready? The next question from Lydia.
Yeah, just from Lydia. Sorry.
From Lydia. On Instagram.
Wow, how fancy.
Okay. Question for your Q&A for both you and Emma, either or. Oh my goodness, how exciting. In high school, how do you know what's too much reading or workload? How do you adjust if it's too much or not enough?
Emma, I think you should go first. I've been doing a lot of talking here. What are your thoughts?
Wow. Okay. My thoughts are, well, okay, this is very much me as a person and not much like high school students everywhere, but I find that it's hard to go overboard when I'm doing it with other people and very easy to go overboard when I'm doing it by myself. Like my, with like a, like reading and just assignments in general, if I'm doing it by myself, it's really hard to do it. And a lot of times it just doesn't get done because the things with other people take mental priority. And so I do those. And then I'm like, oh, I finished, when I didn't actually finish because there were all the stuff that was not with other people. And then my brain was just like, no. So yeah.
Emma is the social butterfly of the family.
Extroverted to the extreme. But I don't know how many people are going to be like, yes, that's super helpful. But yeah, doing stuff with other people makes it, I find that I can do a lot more. I have the mental capacity to do more when I'm doing it with other people.
That's a really good tip. Yeah. So, but, you know, so for your extroverts, maybe finding like positive social pressure,
mm-hmm.
where there might be friends who are reading the same books together, or it doesn't even have to be a specific like a class. Because you've had friends who have come mm-hmm. up with projects and things you guys have worked on independently mm-hmm. that had nothing to do with school. But yeah, you were more likely to get those done. But if your child has a different personality too, I think that is what Emma was saying. How I would extrapolate from that is working with your student's unique personality and the things that inspire or mm-hmm. motivate them yeah. is really useful.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know the answer to this question.
It's very person dependent.
Yeah, trial and error. I mean, we have had plenty of meltdowns.
Do too much and then scale back.
Yeah, where it's like, wow, maybe we were expecting too much of that child or that teen. I don't know. Maybe they're freaking out and I did it. It's partly my fault. So I probably do err on the side of overbooking, although I'm trying to get better about that. But one thing I think that does help is having, especially when you're like dealing with middle schoolers, junior high, you're kind of like gearing up and ramping up towards the more and more independent high school years, is I would do a lot of assigning of like read for this amount of time a few times a week.
instead of giving page numbers, because it's really hard sometimes to gauge how many chapters or pages to read, depending on like if you're a fast reader, that may not be too much at all. And then another child, you give them the same page numbers and it's like, oh my goodness, this is 27 hours worth of reading. So if you assign an amount of time to read from a particular book, it can help both you and the student gauge how long it actually takes to read a certain amount of a particular book. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can frustrate and exasperate my children, and I don't want to do that. At the same time, I would rather like us shoot high and have a challenge to work towards, and maybe we don't make it.
Shoot for the moon and you'll fall amongst the stars.
Oh, stop it. She's making fun of me. But as long as we can keep good communication open and not wallow in the depths of despair if we don't quite mm-hmm. meet our goals, I think that that's kind of a good thing.
And communication.
It's
great. And just do that more.
Yeah, more communication. I think communication, especially with teens, is really, really important. Some students, it's very easy because they're like, let me tell you everything on my heart and mind. Others, it is very hard. But it is worth the effort. Communication.
Yeah.
Communication.
Yeah. And also, like, it's going to depend. Like, every day is going to be different. So, like, if someone mm-hmm. did, like, 47 million bajillion things one day, that's not the average.
Right.
Find the average and not the, like, this is everything. I did all of it today. That's not every day. That's just one day.
Well, and because teens, remember, are also going through all these changes of puberty. So, like, you're going to have all these hormone fluctuations. You're going to have friend and social things. You're going to, you know, as they start having outside jobs, all these other things that are playing a role into how much work they can do in any given week. It's just not as cut and dry as, like, figuring it out one time and then that being the answer for the whole week, let alone the whole year. But I did come up with I just think this is a brilliant word picture.
Wow. Share with us this metaphor.
Yeah, would you like to hear the metaphor?
Okay. I'm so ready.
So it's kind of like exercise or lifting weights.
Wow.
So I don't know if anybody has, you know, done weightlifting, but a little bit of pain is good, like a little bit of that strain. And that last rep that you do, you want to feel like you can barely do it. Like you can do it and keep good form, but you can barely do that last rep. And that's how your muscles grow. You know, your muscles are going to be sore afterwards, but that's, they're growing. But if you do too much, like you can actually hurt yourself or injure yourself, and you don't want to do that. There are some days when you're not feeling really well for whatever reason, and you can't do the same weight or the same number of reps as you did last time, you know, to continue with the metaphor.
Of course.
And that's okay. So you have to listen to your body, your mind, you know, communicate.
Wow, communication.
We're again. Going back to that. Crazy. Lots of communication. You know, notice with your teens, you know, notice a lot of times if stress is coming out in other areas. It may be attitudes with their siblings, attitudes with you, personal hygiene, issues with friends. I don't know. It can come out in a lot of different ways. And then try to adjust as needed from there. But, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I figured this out.
Just trial and error.
Trial and error. And God's grace. I mean, just a lot of praying together. And I tell my children, like, I've never done this before. Neither have you. We're figuring it out together.
Yep.
But overall, okay?
Overall, okay.
Okay. I don't know if that was helpful.
So good.
That was the best
one ever. Everyone's like, wow, you have revolutionized everything. You told us to communicate? Never heard that before.
Okay. Thanks, Emma. All right. The final question we were going to talk about, this came up a lot. Like a lot of people heard about you taking a CLEP exam this summer. Wow. And were like, tell us all about it. In fact, I had some people who were like, I've never even heard of these before.
Okay, Mom. Tell us about CLEP exams. Well, I'm the one asking questions here. Tell us, what about CLEP exams?
Well, first, do you want to tell, like, what is a CLEP exam? I mean, you tell us.
So a CLEP exam is an easy-peasy way easy-peasy is a bit of an exaggeration, but basically it's this test that you take, and if you get, you know, if you pass the test, then it stands in as a college credit for whatever the topic. So I took American History 1, I think is for U.S. History 1, whatever it's called, which – basically, you just read a lot of you read the CLEP exam book and watch a lot of Crash Course videos, and then you take it, And then that's a college credit. Bam, already done in your pocket. And it's great.
Yes, thank you. So CLEP stands for College Level Examination Program. Did you know that?
Actually, I didn't.
That's I had to crazy. Look that up.
I was like, what I is mean, it? I guess I sort of knew it was an acronym, but also just like a CLEP exam.
Yeah, and so they're published by the College Board, the same people that do the SAT, the PSAT. And CLEP exams are designed to let you test out of those early introductory courses, college courses. You can then get into more advanced courses earlier in your college college plan. It saves time, saves money. These tests are about $100, you guys. Mm-hmm. And they are pass-fail.
Yeah.
They are pass-fail. All you have to do is pass the test.
Yeah.
Spend about $100 and you get, you know, 3 or 4 college credits. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. Now, it doesn't affect your GPA at your college because
it counts as like a transfer credit.
It's going to be just like a transfer credit. So you'll get the credit, but it won't count towards the GPA. So you take a CLEP exam at an official CLEP test center, which is why it's so much easier to do than an AP exam. Because AP exams, a lot of times, it's hard for homeschoolers to find a place to take the test. But with CLEP exams, just like with SAT, it's just so much easier to sign up and register and find a local place to take the test. They're multiple choice.
Yes.
Again.
Multiple choice, guys.
Multiple choice. I think there are a couple that might – I think there might be like a college composition that has a written section. But in general, they're multiple choice. Again, I can't over-exaggerate. This is like if you are a person who,
if you're good at test taking,
yes, it is a test
and you read
taking
the book,
skill.
You're good.
So they take about 90 to 120 minutes to complete. Are we gonna try this again?
I think we're gonna try it again.
So what was funny is at the end of our recording, I was like, haha, what if we checked this and it didn't record? It was like, ha,
lo and behold,
so funny. And then we went and actually it did. It stopped. Which it happened last time too. Mm-hmm.
It stopped partway through.
I don't understand. What have we done wrong? It's for our sanctification.
We're getting so sanctified right now. Like,
I think we went back and figured out what I was saying about CLEP exams. But I feel like I had so many profound things to say. I hope I can say it again.
Yeah.
I think I was just, I don't know.
Basically, you were like, okay, if you've already, like, done the class in your, like, high school and you've gotten so educated already with, like, you know, real stuff, then you already have all the knowledge packed into that little brain of yours. So go take the CLEP test, and then it's, like, bonus points for the education that you already got. And it's not education, but it's, like, the cherry on top where you get college credit for your actual education and not having to sit through a college class where they're, like, super boring.
Oh my.
She didn't say that because she was way more diplomatic, but like, and so much time.
And was like, all right,
we're ready.
We already recorded this one, so I've got things to do.
But that's the scoop, guys.
Okay. Well, it was probably nicer the last time we said it, but you can go to clep.collegeboard.org to find out more details. I have a previous podcast where I interviewed someone and we talked about college credit in high school. Again, in case this part deleted or whatever. Just to be clear, this is not teaching to the test. This is not your education. This is just getting credit for what you already know.
Yep.
Okay. You can ask me more questions. If something like there seemed to be an obvious gap in what I said, I apologize. It was technology's fault.
It's not us, guys. We were so clear the first time.
Okay. So if you're still willing to stick around and hang out with me, you should make sure you are subscribed to Homeschool Conversations right here in your podcast feed. Leave a rating and review
of your favorite podcast.
Yes. And the very first bonus episode is going to come next week.
Yay.
And if you love Anne of Green Gables,
as we all do,
you're going to love this episode.
Woohoo.
So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss out. Normally, regular season episodes, interview episodes will drop every other week with an occasional bonus episode because I love me some bonus episodes.
Don't we all?
If you love podcasts, which obviously you do because you're listening to this one, you should also check out Grace's Pickled Poems podcast and the Kids Talk Church History podcast. I love listening to my girls be podcasters as well.
Yay.
But I'd listen to them even if they weren't my kids.
Yep.
They're just good poems. I mean, podcasts.
Good podcasts.
About poems.
I mean, technically there are some poems in the Kids Talk Church History podcast where when they are related to the history. So sneak attack poetry, even in history, you know?
There you go. And then I would love for you guys to join me in Made to Homeschool. It is the online community for every homeschool mom. We have weekly workshops and live meetups, exclusive printables. I am sharing some details about homeschooling high school in there that I'm not sharing other places. I'm also going to be doing a workshop on Shakespeare, one on Advent in our homeschools for normal people.
How exciting.
I love Advent. It is very exciting. We have a new premium partners thing going on right now with
so fancy,
like Apologia and World Watch News and Rabbit Trail Homeschools, where they are giving exclusive discounts and benefits to Made to Homeschool members. So head to humilityanddoxology.com/M2H to find out more, or you can click the link in the show notes. And you can find me at humilityanddoxology.com and humilityanddoxology in all the places, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Emma, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. I had a great time.
Thank you for bearing with me with the technology issue.
It's not your fault. I forgive you.
You know, I think that we just recorded that whole thing that we had taken like 20 minutes. I think we just like, we're like, yep. And then here's the 45-second conclusion to this podcast.
See, I feel like they're going to appreciate that because they're like, we were, this was too long. I feel like you got to, I should have been over already. And then we were.
And then we were. So, wow.
Sanctification for us and benefit for you guys.
Thank you guys so much for being here. I'm looking forward to season 8 of this podcast. I just have so many amazing people I interviewed and can't wait to share those conversations with you. Please tell a friend about homeschool conversations.
Or all your friends.
Or all your friends, yeah.
Tell all of the friends.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
I won't, but see you later.
I'll see you.
Bye.
Happy homeschooling. Podcast sponsor Wilson Hill Academy is a vibrant and fully accredited classical Christian school available to families all over the world. Wilson Hill Academy serves grades 4 through 12, and students can register for one class or a full course load. Learn more at wilsonhillacademy.com. What do their online classrooms look like? Students join master teachers live online to engage in deep and lively discussions, solve math problems, conduct science experiments, translate Latin, deliver thesis presentations, and much more. Outside of class, they can participate in the house system or join a club. And everyone is invited to an in-person gathering at the end of the year for the ultimate family camp and commencement ceremony. At Wilson Hill, students make lifelong friends and graduate well-prepared for college and beyond. A classical Christian education will equip your child to love what is beautiful, good, and true, and to embrace lifelong learning. Discover what's possible for your family at wilsonhillacademy.com. Thanks for listening in on this week's Homeschool Conversation. For show notes and links to all the resources we discussed, head to humilityanddoxology.com/homeschool-conversations. And if these episodes are an encouragement to you, would you take a moment to leave a rating and review and to share with your friends? I am so thankful that you are here on this adventure with me. Let's repent of our constant striving, relish the joy of learning, and rest in the work of Christ on our behalf. Stand fast, my friends.